This is a Shift Podcast Network production.
Welcome to Here and Back Again. I'm David O'Callaghan, and this is a podcast looking at all things releasing weekly on streaming and in cinemas, with a bit of pop culture bits thrown in. Another week, another insane amount of content dropping. No time to dwell. There's a lot to get through today. So, shall we begin?
It's opening night, and a big star drops dead on stage.
Oh my God, my leading man is dead.
Is this really happening?
Well, you know, who are we without a homicide?
NYPD! The killer is someone in this room.
My show is hanging on by a thread here.
Finding this killer is the only way you'll have a show.
Want to make a podcast with me?
Oh my God, this is corny.
So corny.
I know it is. Yeah. Murder?
Yeah, murder. Yeah.
Only Murders in the Building returns for its third season on Disney Plus as true crime enthusiasts and podcasters Selena Gomez, Martin Short and Steve Martin have to deal with, yes, more death in their apartment building and some new additions and new suspects to the series, including Meryl Streep. Yes, Meryl Streep is in the house, as is Paul Rudd, Jesse Williams and Ashley Park. Martin Short's Oliver has finally got to opening night. And yes, for anyone who watched last season's finale, from then on it all goes horribly, horribly wrong. Cue for slapstick, more murder mystery and more amateur sleuthing from our podcasting heroes. Always a fun watch. The addition of Streep and Rudd to ham it up throughout this season can only excite us just a little bit more. That's Only Murders in the Building, Season 3, which has dropped its first two episodes now on Disney+, and further episodes will come out every Tuesday.
America, the land of the free. Opportunity. And self-determination. But you can't escape your enemies. Because I'm back now. And I'm wide awake.
Let's go.
We're gonna hold the rich and powerful and criminal accountable for their actions, no matter the cost.
Damian Lewis's hedge fund king, Bobby Axelrod, is back to reclaim his throne in the seventh and final series of Billions on Paramount Plus. Dealing in the power politics in the world of New York high finance that centers around the constantly brewing feud between U.S. attorney Chuck Rhodes, played by Paul Giamatti, and Lewis's Axelrod, the last series saw Corey Stoll's Mike Prince take center stage as Rhodes' new nemesis. But, alas, with Bobby back on the scene and Prince planning to run for president, this one looks like it's gonna head out in a blaze of glory. While it'll never be Succession, and I know it's got its haters out there, I've weirdly been all in on this series. I really, really enjoyed it. And yeah, it's hammy in places. Actually, not just places, it's hammy everywhere. But I'm looking forward to seeing how it all plays out in the end. So that is Billions Season 7, the final season on Paramount Plus from Saturday the 12th.
I am an investigator with the U.S. Attorney's Office.
You lie, you hurt people, you go down.
You ever prosecute a company as big as Purdue Pharma?
Backward. All of human behavior is essentially comprised of two things. Run from pain, run toward pleasure. Pain, pleasure, pain, pleasure. If we place ourselves right there between pain and pleasure, we will never have to worry about money again.
Directed by Peter Berg of Friday Night Lights. Oh yeah. Friday night. Anyway, sorry. Painkiller on Netflix is a six-part limited drama series depicting the origins and the aftermath of the American opioid crisis. Matthew Broderick, Uzo Aduba, Wes Duchovny and Taylor Kitsch lead the cast. Oh, there's Taylor. Taylor's back, baby. Tim Riggins forever. Anyway, sorry. Based on Barry Mayer's same-named book and a New Yorker article by Patrick Redden Keefe called The Family That Built an Empire of Pain, this one is an eye-opening examination of criminality, addiction and America's medical industrial complex. I know what you're all thinking. I know you're out there going, didn't we just have Dopesick? And didn't that win like shed loads of awards? Well, it seems that people's hunger and streamers' fascination with the Sackler family, Purdue Pharma, and the carnage caused by the OxyContin drug has not dimmed yet. I don't know about you, but I'm all in yet again. Whether it's as good as the extremely impressive and, as mentioned, award-winning Dopesick, we'll just have to bail in and find out. Because that is the question we're about to find out. That's Painkiller, the limited series, which is now all up on Netflix. Also out this week, a little question for you there. Do you like South Korean horror? Yeah, it's not bad. Yeah, kind of entertains me. Do you like zombies? Oh, yeah, I love zombies, yeah. Do you like reality TV? Not particularly. Well, some, Survivor maybe, but no. Well, have we got a little something crazy for you? Because Zombieverse on Netflix is a slightly weird and batshit mixture of reality TV meets drama meets social experiments. This unscripted show flings its celebrity contestants headfirst into the middle of a zombie apocalypse simulation taking place in Seoul and says, go ahead, try survive. I know, you're like, what's happening now? This show is also kind of both performed and unscripted. I don't really know what I'm watching. All I know is that the zombie outbreak itself is treated with the utmost seriousness. Celebrity survivor contestants must work together to locate food, water and shelter, all the while zombies rampage about them and anyone who is bitten is eliminated. The team behind the young adult zombie smash hit All of Us Are Dead are behind this, so shoot it into my veins, people. Shoot it into my veins. And just remember, every TV show, every movie or every reality show you watch about zombies is simply an all-important and helpful information-gathering medium for the eventual zombie apocalypse. You say apocalypse with a fruit pastel in your mouth. That someday will eventually arrive. We will be prepared. And that's a shout out to my bunker dwelling zombie survivalists out there. Hoorah! Zombieverse is now on Netflix. Also out this week we have High School Musical, the musical, the series, season 4 on Disney+. And in this one, East High Drama School are putting on a stage adaptation of High School Musical 3, Senior Year. So far, so meta. But wait, it gets even more insane, as Disney have confirmed that High School Musical 4, School Reunion, with 6 of the original cast, is in production. With, wait for it, the cast of High School Musical, the series, appearing as extras in the movie. Oh my god, my head. My brain, take me back to the zombies. This season is the first without Olivia Rodrigo after her exit from the series last season. And yeah, people love this stuff. And why not? Prepare yourself for High School Musical 4. And remember, we're all in this together, folks. We are all in this together. That's High School Musical, the series, season 4. Oh, now on Disney Plus.
How are you?
Feeling a little off my game.
The only reason she makes me a salad is because she wants me to lose weight, which is passive aggressive.
No, I want you to be healthy.
Doesn't matter.
Can you shut up and keep talking?
Don, you want to intervene here? We can do this at home.
Even Milani looks tired.
I'm aging.
What are you, nuts?
You get Botox?
Well, I just get a little bit right here. You know, I can still move my eyebrows. Watch.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus stars alongside Tobias Menzies in writer-director Nicole Holofcener's new movie, You Hurt My Feelings, on Prime Video. Holofcener's style of movies are always kind of a talky and walky relationship-based affair, similar to the vibe of early Nora Ephron or possibly Greta Gerwig's movies. And she last worked with Dreyfus on the very, very enjoyable Enough Said with James Gandolfini. This one is all about middle age and how one confronts failure or perceived failure. Events are set off as Dreyfus's novelist long-standing marriage suddenly turns upside down when she overhears her husband give his honest reaction to her latest book. Oh, the disaster. Disaster! This is what you would call a proper grown-up movie for anyone who wants a drama filled with stellar performances and some home truths put out there into the open. Low-key, charming and extremely entertaining. I'm not going to lie, I chuckled quite a bit during this one and I would highly, highly recommend it. nice glass of wine on a Friday night or Saturday night on the couch, some salty snacks. Telling you, it's a winner. That is You Hurt My Feelings, now on Prime Video. Strange Planet is Apple TV's new adult animated series, coming from Rick and Morty co-creator Dan Harmon and Nathan Pyle, who wrote the webcomic and graphic novel on which the show is based. Set on a distant alien world populated by blue beings who live everyday lives similar to our own, Strange Planet is voiced by Tunde Adepimbe, whose day job is the lead singer for the epic band TV on the Radio, and also hack star Hannah Enbinder. Definitely filed this one under the quirky and even melancholic banner. I was a big fan of the graphic novel when it came out, and this one looks like a fun spin-off of that world. If you are coming in expecting another gritty and R-rated animated series a la Rick and Morty, back away slowly, back away. This is definitely a bit more wholesome and kind of celebrates the mundane throughout. That's Strange Planet, now on Apple TV+. And in Ladies First, A Story of Women in Hip Hop, a new series on Netflix, rappers, writers and experts detail the influence of women on hip hop music and the culture in this docuseries, honouring the trailblazers and game changers of the music genre. Queen Latifah is front and centre in this documentary, which sees her feature alongside MC Light, Da Brat, Tierra Whack, amongst many, many more. Looks like a fairly decent music documentary, and what's not to love? That is Ladies First, A Story of Women in Hip Hop, now on Netflix.
The most highly trained agents.
It's a bigger operation.
No political leanings.
What's with all the speculation?
No national allegiances.
Time to make a statement.
Working together to keep peace in a turbulent world.
Limitation.
Coming from Tom Harper, who directed Wild Rose, oh, what a movie, I really enjoyed that movie, and some of the Peaky Blinders series, Heart of Stone on Netflix stars Gal Gadot and Jamie Dornan in this new international all-action spy thriller. Set in a world of shadowy organisations, yes, in the shadows they lurk, and world-threatening hackers, what other kind of hackers are there? This espionage action thriller sees Gal Gadot's secret agent Rachel Stone attempting to stop the Heart, which is an advanced AI asset. Oh yes, the AI is back, baby. The AI is everywhere. It's no longer the Russians or dodgy guys stroking cats. It's just AI. Yes, she must stop this threat from falling into the wrong hands and threatening global safety. Aided by Dornan, who plays a MI6 operative, Netflix continues to lean into their winning formula of big budget, absolute nonsense action movies. And my eyeballs and everybody else's are here for it. Guaranteed to be a smash, no matter how good or how bad it is. And I'm going to lean, hopefully pretty decent. Just give me a 3-star. I'm not asking for much here. That is Heart of Stone, which is now on Netflix.
The White House and the Palace are going to release a joint statement.
You've got to be joking.
You can hate Prince Henry all you want.
My NDA is bigger than yours, I want you to know that.
You're wearing lifts. Know that too, sweetheart.
You better act like the sun shines out of his ass and you have a vitamin D deficiency.
I think so is what you might say to convince the world that we're actually friends.
I love hanging out with this guy.
These days are way too lonely.
We never have to see each other again.
You're expected at my New Year's party.
No, forgive me.
Did I do something wrong?
Do you ever wonder who you'd be if you were an anonymous person in the world?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Christ, you're as thick as it gets.
In Red, White and Blue on Prime Video, Alex is the son of the first female president of the United States, played by Uma Thurman, and Henry is the Prince of Wales. Initially rivals, an unfortunate incident sees the pair forced to feign friendship to generate goodwill between nations. But then, in true romantic fashion, their blossoming romance, kind of blooms. And considering their high-profile public lives, they must keep their relationship a secret at all costs. Absolute nonsense of the highest order. And based on the 2019 novel of the same name by Casey McQuiston, Prime Video are selling this one like it's going out of fashion. All the hype all the buzz, could be absolute trash or could be just a really sweet movie. You know who you are, people. You know who you are. Because Red, White and Blue is just for you. And now is available on Prime Video. In the new Taiwanese LGBTQ plus horror comedy Marry My Dead Body on Netflix, we have the story of Wu Ming Han, a straight policeman who is homophobic and afraid of ghosts. However, while collecting evidence for a case, he accidentally picks up a red envelope and is forced to marry ghost husband Mao Pang Yu, who died under mysterious circumstances. What's happening now? The duo must work together through their differences and join forces to solve the case, seeking justice for Mao. This horror comedy was an absolute smash hit in Taiwan, and I do believe we'll find plenty of fans here, as it looks really funny and really cute. So that is Marry My Dead Body, now on Netflix. One for the tweens out there, we have Mech Cadets on Netflix. This new animated series sees an underdog teen join a group of young cadets who've been chosen to bond with Robomechs from space and to defend the Earth against alien invaders. Listen, if you like giant battling robots, alien invaders and teen drama all wrapped up in a nice animated series, that is Mech Cadets, which is now streaming on Netflix.
You are going to Taipei.
Like Taiwan?
We want to give you something special.
It's going to be the perfect summer.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm Sophie Ha. Like, haha.
I never.
Do you go to college? Are you excited for the summer?
See any guys you like?
Do you not like to talk?
I don't really know if excited is the right word.
You are here to learn and experience your cultural heritage.
Parents send their kids here because they think it's a cultural program, but we're all here because we know what it really is.
Stop!
One big party.
Based on Abigail Hing Wen's New York Times best-selling novel Love Boat, Taipei, Love in Taipei is another Paramount Plus original rom-com which stars Ashley Liu as Ever Wong, an American teen whose supposed cultural immersion trip to Taiwan turns out to be a ticket to a summer-long romantic free-for-all. Ah, all these romantic boxes this week are being ticked. If you're in the mood for a simple and fun streaming comedy that just is, you know, just cliched as you can get, well, then bail in. Again, you know who you are. You do. Love in Taipei is now on Paramount Plus for your pleasure. In Down for Love on Netflix, we have a heartwarming quest for love and a feel-good reality show that follows a group of New Zealanders with Down syndrome as they navigate the trials and triumphs of dating. Tracking their escapades with friends, family members and dating experts offering advice to these excited candidates who in some cases are going on their very first dates. This one will be guaranteed to have you blubbing in no time. That's Down for Love, now on Netflix. And over on Prime Video, we have Destination NBA, a G League odyssey. This one follows youngsters and veterans with hoop dreams as they try to reach the summit of professional basketball and earn an NBA roster spot. Set across neighborhoods in Las Vegas, Mexico City, Detroit, Maine, and Fort Wayne, Indiana, this first-person account of life in the G League is a must-watch for any sports ball fans out there who love an emotional roller coaster of a documentary series. So Destination NBA, a G League odyssey, is now streaming on Prime Video.
When did you first learn your friend was missing?
3 schools in 3 years. Didn't even finish your junior year at the last place.
I've already told you like 10 times.
Is that all you've got on me, Sheriff?
For now. Trouble seems to follow you wherever you go.
I thought you were coming.
I want to.
But you never do.
This is our last high school summer.
Last time to be officially stupid.
Cruel Summer returns for a second season on Prime Video. Last time around, we were taken to the summers of 1993, 94 and 95 and the disappearance of teenager Kate Wallace. This time out, the anthology series focuses on 2 summers and a winter in a Y2K era in the Pacific Northwest. There, we meet teens Megan, Isabella and Luke, 3 friends with skeletons, all the skeletons in their closets, who find themselves caught up in, oh yes, a love triangle and so much drama. Oh, Kids today, kids today. Again, Amazon is flogging this big time, and Cruel Summer Season 1 was a massive hit for them. So, everybody, if you're into that, get into this. Bail in. That is Cruel Summer Season 2, now on Prime Video.
At the time, New York felt very thriving, and it was just this crazy, over-the-top world.
Paris and Nikki Hilton.
Nicole Richie.
Tinsley Mortimer.
Party in giant handbags.
Cocaine.
Socialites.
Her beautiful clone sexes.
All these photographers, I just remember thinking, I want to be part of this. This looks cool.
And finally, this week on streaming, we have Queenmaker, The Making of an It Girl on Disney+. This is a documentary set in the height of the heiress era New York City with Paris Hilton, Nicole Richie, Tinsley Mortimer, etc. all over the gaff and blowing up on the socials. It also tells the tale of an anonymous blogger who infiltrated this Manhattan elite scene and who brought socialite celebrity to new heights. When that website creator was unmasked, the mastermind was not the one anybody expected. Whoa! Shock reveal. Absolute body trash. What is not to love? I'm going to be honest, this did not go in the direction I thought it was going to go. It was indeed a bizarre and fascinating observation of the time. That is Queenmaker, The Making of an It Girl, now on Disney+. And that's your streaming for the week. Yeah, some very intriguing choices there. Like, it's all over the gaff. There's a million and one different things, and surely there's something there to occupy our minds. Do you know what I didn't mention? I didn't even mention the fact football's coming home, people. Football is coming home because the Premier League is back. Oh! Yes, this is our year. The Gooners are coming for you. No. Just calm down, everybody. Calm down. But yes, just, you know, enjoy the roller coaster. And remember, first day of the season, anything can happen. Dreams are there to be smashed into tiny, tiny little pieces. Yes, the Premier League is back and Arsenal are, yeah, let's just see what happens. Right, let's move on to cinema.
When my son and I moved in here, it wasn't as warm as we hoped. Hey, I'm gonna light a vanilla candle and it's gonna be a game changer.
Will it though?
And after midnight, the house comes alive.
This place is haunted!
We need your help.
It's time to assemble the dream team.
We find someone who can communicate with these ghosts.
Haunted Mansion is a supernatural horror comedy based on Walt Disney's theme park attraction, The Haunted Mansion. Such a fun place. Such a fun place. And it's, yes, the second shot at making it a hit after Eddie Murphy's 2003 film of the same name. This one stars Lakeith Stanfield, Tiffany Haddish, Owen Wilson, Danny DeVito and Rosario Dawson, where Dawson plays a woman who enlists a motley crew of so-called spiritual experts to help rid her and her son's home of supernatural squatters. What can I say? In the 80s, this movie would have been called a straight-to-video classic. However, here we are, a Halloween movie released in August and in the cinema. Hello? None of this makes any sense. It's a, as a movie, it's fine, it's okay. It doesn't really seem to know who it's aimed at. It's too scary and emo. It's very sad and emo. So the small kids would be like, no. And then for the older kids, it's not scary enough and probably too meh. And as for horror fans, they'd be like, get out the door. This, I'll tell you what this is. This is a perfect movie to watch at home on Disney Plus at Halloween. Maybe with a Hocus Pocus double bill. But cinema-wise, I'm going to be honest. Meep, meep, meep. Steer clear, well clear. Unless you really, really need to get out of the house and be distracted for a few hours. I'm not going to lie. It left me somewhat cold. It had fine bits, but overall, I still don't understand why this movie exists in the cinema. There you go. Get off the fence there. Tell us what you really think. That is Disney's The Haunted Mansion now on Disney. No, see? I just said now on Disney. Oh, now in cinemas, but coming soon to Disney Plus. Oh my God. Move on.
Listen, son. You think you're going to play a stupid video game about cars and you're going to become a race car driver?
All I ever wanted to do is be a racer. I'm doing it.
The 10 of you are the best Gran Turismo players in the world. Now is your chance to race real cars.
This is insane.
It's not going to work. The guys who race are elite athletes. Your kids are scrawny little gamer kids.
That's where you come in.
Gran Turismo is another kind of, one of those brand biopic movies that is based both on the video game itself and the true story of Jan Mardenborough, a teenage Gran Turismo player who was able to become a professional race car driver. What? Starring Orlando Bloom and David Harbour, hamming it up to within an inch of their acting lives. This 2-hour advertisement for Sony, PlayStation and Nissan is again... Oh, it's fine. Yeah, it's fine. Another cracker in the straight to VHS section this week. Why would you want to see it in cinemas? That's probably the question most people will be asking. It's an enjoyable TV sports movie that at least has some fairly great car racing sequences due to the actual real-life Jan himself doing the car scenes and not as much CGI as one would think for a movie like this. Again, probably one to catch once it hits streaming. Gran Turismo, fine. Glowing reviews this week. Glowing reviews now available in cinemas and straight to video soon. It's good to see that after Hollywood finally cracked the code of new original IP with Barbenheimer, that, yes, in a week when two newish IPs land, they've gone back down the rabbit hole of average. Hollywood, will you ever learn? Will you ever learn?
On the 27th of December, my husband Thomas was taken away from me and our daughters.
There is increasing concern as to exactly what has happened to Mr. Niedermeyer.
If a group of men come to your house and none of them are wearing masks, in my experience, you're not coming back.
I came to Australia to escape everything that happened to us.
In a week full of average at the cinema, well, there is one shining light. And that shining light is a movie called Face Down, The Disappearance of Thomas Niedermeyer. On the 27th of December 1973, Thomas Niedermeyer, Germany's honorary consul to Northern Ireland and the manager of the Grundig factory in West Belfast, was kidnapped from his home in Belfast. He was never seen alive again by his friends or family and became one of the disappeared, and it seemed that no one knew what had happened to him. His wife Ingeborg and his daughters Renata and Gabrielle spent the next 7 years not knowing if Thomas were alive or dead. Jerry Gregg's powerful and heartbreaking documentary is not just about grief and loss, but also of the repercussions over time such acts of terror and violence can have on a family. Beautifully shot and unfolds almost like a thriller as more information is revealed throughout the movie. This one is on very limited release in cinemas and I cannot recommend it enough. Find it, go out, scour the land, and if not, keep an eye out for when it lands on streaming or RTE or wherever the hell it lands up, because this documentary, while harrowing and heartbreaking, is definitely, definitely a must-see. So that's Face Down, The Disappearance of Thomas Niedermeyer, now at cinemas. And there are your movies. Yeah, plenty to keep the mind and feet and head occupied. What's he talking about? Right, just going to shut up and keep going because we've stuff to do, and instead of three things this week, due to the ongoing strike and the gossip and breaking news being quite low-key, we are promoting the box office numbers segment from the post-credits to the main stage for 1 week only. Another week, another box office update for you all. We won't dwell too much on Barbenheimer because we've been gone on about it. Oh, what a sensation. And as we delved into it last week, however, just to let you know, huzzah, Barbie is now at 1.06 billion with a B and is closing in on Super Mario's 1.35 billion as the year's biggest movie. A slow August release schedule makes me think the bejeweled crown will be all hers in a few weeks. Oppenheimer is fast approaching 600 million worldwide and got the fantastic news that instead of vacating its hugely successful IMAX screens, it's getting an extension until the end of August, which won't really harm Blue Beetle, but will definitely harm any hopes of our topic today, Pearl Tom, of making a theatrical profit. Oh, has the franchise truly met its day of reckoning? Do you know what? Let's discuss the summer bombs and underperformers. First up, Tom Cruise, Paramount, and their, some would call it hubris, thinking that after saving cinema last year with Top Gun Maverick, that their latest franchise that has never cracked 800 billion worldwide would have a halo effect with its release this year and wipe out those two smaller movies releasing in its path to glory, Barbie and Oppenheimer. Who cares about such small movies compared to Big Tom? Even when it became apparent that Barbenheimer was becoming a thing, and despite Tom panicking briefly and ringing all the large cinema chain owners in America and asking them to, please, please, sir, can I have some larger screens instead of these two new upstart IPs? They all still went ahead and released the movie into the eye of the storm that was to come. And week by week, despite it getting amazing reviews and, yes, being extremely awesome and a thrill to behold, it has been losing massive amounts of screens week by week. Suddenly, that idea of shifting to August, while possibly an awkward move for everyone, looks like it should have been the move. Even Gran Turismo in the US said, feck this shit, we are delaying for 2 weeks just until the hype of Barbenheimer dies down. So, numbers wise, how does Tom look? Bleak. With a production cost, as mentioned before, of $290 million and a marketing spend of about $110 million, that's $400 million spent before a dollar has been made. With a worldwide box office currently at $493 million and it's slowing down everywhere day by day due to the above-mentioned lack of screens, it looks like this also may come in only as the fourth or fifth best-performing Mission Impossible in the franchise. What the fuck? What's happening? Not a good look, I would say, and with about $150 million required for this movie to break even in its theatrical release, it's sad times ahead for Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 2, which again has rumours of ballooning budgets, and well, looking at the release schedule ahead in 2024, I'm pretty sure Paramount and Tom will be locking that shit down when it comes to IMAX screens and premium screens. Toot sweet, lads. Toot sweet. Get it sorted. So, strike one. Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning is the first big fish to fall this summer, box office wise. Well, it's not really the first, because we'll all remember The Flash. With its reported production and marketing budget of $320 million. Well, it's finished in the cinema and its worldwide box office sits at $298 million, meaning it lost almost $170 million in its theatrical window. Whoa! Ouch, mama. Yet, there's Warner Brothers smiling away as they can hide this catastrophe and these numbers behind the genius and pink cloud emanating from Greta Gerwig and Barbie Land. Flash in the pan, indeed. Just nobody talk about it. Just embrace Barbie and nobody mention The Flash. Nothing to say. Move on. Nothing to say here. And finally, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, which came in at a budget of $300 million and a marketing spend of $100 million. It's looking like its $400 million investment is about to fall off a cliff. With a current worldwide box office of $370 million, this is even more disastrous than Mission Impossible. With its box office and screens deteriorating week by week, it currently needs to make about $210 million more to become profitable in its theatrical window. And that, dear folks, is not going to happen. Who'd have thunk in a year with a new Indiana Jones, a new Pixar and a new live-action Disney that a ragtag of returning Space Misfits and Guardians would be the shining light in the Disney IP stable? And Marvel, before you get cocky, one word, Quantumania. absolutely fascinating stuff. You know me, love it. It's mad stuff. It's shambolic stuff. And as I may have hinted before in previous rundowns, amongst this madness, there's a small fate-based movie made for about $14 million that has beaten the US box office of Mission Impossible, and by next week will have whipped Indiana Jones. What, my lord, is going on? But we shall talk about Sound of Freedom again soon. Anyway, there you go. I'm all talked out. I'm all done. Better head off now and into the sunset, sort of. The sun, because the sun is actually out. Sun. I can't believe it. There's actually sun. Anyway, this is David O'Callaghan for the Here and Back Again podcasts. Wishing you all the best. And until next week, stay safe and binge happy. Yes. I was going to say this will be short, but it won't be short. I'm just looking at the sun outside and I'm sad to be sitting inside. But I'm nearly there. I'm in the post-credit run. I'm in the Thunderdome. Yes, welcome, weary traveller. We're nearly there in what is possibly the longest pod I've ever done. But anyway, it's all box office, people. It's all important stuff. So, imagine this. Imagine making a movie about child trafficking and also those people involved in policing and stopping such atrocities, right? Also imagine in maybe 2018, largely through your Mexican backers for a production cost of $14.5 million, imagine completing this movie with none other than Jesus himself, Jim Caviezel, as the lead character, based on a real-life person, Tim Ballard. Right? Loads of imagining? Still going? Imagine then, just as you're about to release the movie, you lose your distributor when Disney acquired 20th Century Fox, or 21st Century Fox, in 2019, and they did what you think they did. They put it on the shelf. And then finally, imagine all the people... No, imagine a fate-based studio buying it off the shelf in 2023 and crowdfunding its marketing campaign by raising $5 million and promising folks a 20% return on this investment if the movie is successful. Oh, if! Jesus! Then imagine that movie outgrossing Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1 in the US. And imagine that movie is about to pass Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, because you no longer have to imagine, because it's now made $166 million in the US only. Yes, with all this imagining, imagine no more. Welcome to the world of Sound of Freedom. You can't not love an underdog, and by geez, this is mad stuff. Well, you can. I know you can love and not love, but you'll understand when we get through this. This is a movie that this summer has shook Hollywood for a number of reasons, which we will now, in classic Peter and Jane style, we'll try dig into. Okay, first up, and extremely unavoidable, so you just have to go straight in, is the whole QAnon adjacent vibe that the far right in the US have embraced wholly around this movie. This is all despite the director saying that was not the intention of the movie, especially since QAnon actually hadn't even surfaced when it was finished. For those not familiar, QAnon and its conspiracies about child trafficking and the Hollywood elite, who they say, or he says, or she says, is a group of Satan-worshipping overlords who run a child sex ring and are trying to control politics and media. Believed by many in the US especially, And also, according to QAnon, the belief is that the wealthy and famous, the reason they kidnap the children is to harvest their blood for a chemical called adrenochrome. Yes, adrenochrome, which keeps them young and immortal and powerful. Oh, anyway, we've all been there. So, then, add into the fact we have Jesus himself, lead actor Jim Caviezel, still best known for his portrayal of Jesus in Mel Gibson's 2004 film, The Passion of Christ. Caviezel, who for many years has been vocal about his strict Catholic faith, was just coming off Person of Interest, that sci-fi crime drama that I started watching, never finished. And let's just say in his more recent interviews, he kind of embraced the QAnon vibe and its conspiracies. So Jim's on board with that old crazy town talk, but let's just park that for a minute. Because we're here to talk numbers and success. Angel Studios are best known for a crowd-funded smash hit TV show about the life of Jesus called The Chosen, which is now coming into its third season, of which they sometimes show double episodes in the cinema and make millions, 10 millions, 15 millions, all over the gaff. They released the movie, and then at the end they have good old Jim pop up on the screen as actor Jim and tell us that if this movie moved you, if it enraged you, then why not take advantage of Angel Studios' Pay It Forward scheme and gift the movie to a friend or two friends or, hey, your whole church. And you know what? That's what's happening. Out of the ticket sales, it seems that about 25 to 30% are from Pay It Forward sales. Middle America, religious America are buying tickets in droves. Churches are buying hundreds of tickets and taking their parishioners on a group trip to the cinema. As reported, while some screens report sold out and there's nobody in it, or maybe 20 people, others are actually sold out. So it's, you know, goes both ways, people. But the bottom line is they have made 166 million to date and still rising off a 14.5 million production cost and the 5 million crowdfunded. Yes, those people got their money back fairly quickly. So, while QAnon adjacent and far right adjacent is not something the movie makers will ever lean into, they're not stupid, so they won't lean out either. Sure, hell, even Donald Trump had a screening recently with the heads of Angel Studios, the director, and Caviezel in attendance. Ballard, upon which the movie is loosely based, ranges from far-right superhero to far-left spoofer and self-promoter. But the topic itself of child trafficking is also a central piece to its success. Sold purely as a thriller, everything seems fine. We've seen enough based on a true story movies and shows to know that, hell, stuff gets tweaked. But the core message of the movie to save the children has struck home. Is this just an American phenomenon, or can this movie break to even more insane numbers worldwide? Well, here's the thing. We're about to find out, because Sound of Freedom gets a worldwide release, of which Ireland and the UK, I think, seem to be getting it in September. Will it just be another so-so thriller that nobody cares about? Or will we all think, oh, do you know what? That's not half bad. Despite all the dodgy adjacent negative vibes associated with the movie, there's no such thing as bad publicity. Whenever it does land, you can expect plenty of media hype, coverage and hand-wringing, especially in a year when some of Hollywood's biggest franchises have stumbled at the box office. As for the genius pay-it-forward system that Angel Studios have introduced, well, how long do you think it'll be before this is adopted by all the big guys, the traditional Hollywood studios? So fair play. You have to give people credit when credit is due. Interesting times, folks. Interesting times. And yes, I will obviously rock up and have a nose and see what all the fuss is about. And ultimately, just give me a good old thriller. I'll just avoid all that other shit. Right. I'm out of here. Ciao and talk soon, folks. Bye-bye.